Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Welcome back to Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. We're going to continue a study that we began the last time we were able to assemble together. We're in Luke chapter 15. Grab your Bible. Join with us. Study with us, if you will. We are studying the story of the prodigal pigs. I know you may be familiar with this, known as the prodigal son. But when I was asked to prepare a lesson for this in a vacation Bible school in the area for the adult class, they were doing barnyard animals. So they did Balaam's donkey and the prodigal pig. So in my notes, it has always remained prodigal pig. We've covered the first 14 verses of Luke chapter 15, and I'd like for us to pick up here on Luke chapter 15 and verse 15. By the way, if you missed last week's introductory remarks, you can hear them all on my website for free, thejustinreedshow.com. That's thejustinreedshow.com. thejustinreedshow.com. Click on where it says Programs, and another little menu pops up, and click on where it says Reading the Word. And then you can listen to any of the programs in the series. This one's number 57, so there are 56 other ones up there for you anytime, day or night. Luke 15 and 15 now, reading from the King James Translation. And he, that's the prodigal son, he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, a faraway country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Now, later Jewish tradition would have made this man, the prodigal son, well, and the man he was working for, to be accursed. We see it's unlikely he wouldn't have even wanted to have approached the local synagogue, which everyone would have been closest for help, because he's out feeding the pigs. This son is hired to feed out the pigs. Now, to us today, in the 21st century, that's not a big deal. But if you're a Jew, that should have been repugnant to him. It should have made him snarl his nose and turn away. Why? Because swine are unclean. In Leviticus chapter 11, there's the hallmark passage on what God said under the Old Testament was clean versus unclean. And so of the land animals, if it has a split hoof, choose the cud, it's clean like a cow. If it has a split hoof but doesn't chew the cud, it's unclean. And the Bible specifically mentions pigs. In every one of these, because there's four main areas, they give the rules and then they give specific examples. Your water creatures, verses 9 through 12 of Leviticus 11, if it has fins and scales, it's clean. If it has fins but no scales, it is unclean. If it's of the air, verses 13 through 19, basically it's just a checklist. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Bats are among those that you can't, by the way. Insects, verses 20 through 23, if they have four walking legs and they have jointed jumping legs, then you can eat them. The conclusion of this, God instituted it to keep his people separated from the Gentiles and to teach them obedience. Now, this is something that the prodigal son would have known. He would have known that he shouldn't have been near pigs. But notice, verse 16. He would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, yet no man gave to him. Now these animals ate the carob pods raw, C-A-R-O-B. In fact, humans ate them toasted, often in times of famine, so it would not have been uncommon for him to want to eat this during this time. It's the seed castings of a tree used as food for cattle, pigs. Sometimes the poor people would be eating this. We're told it has a quote-unquote Swedish taste. It's coarse. It's a locust-like bean. Has a certain amount of sugar content to it. They are still sold in Manhattan, New York today. You can order carob seeds. We see, here's what's interesting. This is why I love delving into these stories that we know. This seed that these pods that he is eating, they're strangely uniform in size and in weight. And they were often used as a measurement because they're all the same. Well, carob, later the word got changed to carrot, C-A-R-A-T, and it was used by gem merchants. You look at a ring on a lady's left hand, and she'll say, well, that's a one-carat diamond, or that's a half a carat. That's the weight of one of these seeds equals 1 carat. So there's your modern world tie-in. We see that he wanted to eat these, and no man gave anything to him. All of these so-called friends that he would have blown his inheritance with, all of a sudden, when there's no money, they have no time. We're going to go ahead and pause here. When we come back on the other side of this break, we'll continue reading the Word in Luke 15 and verse 17.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you for sticking around on the other side of this break. Let us continue reading the Word. We're studying the story of the prodigal pigs, Luke 15, 17. And when the prodigal son came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He realized that this sin was against God himself, and he's realizing that in verse 18 as well. But we see that repentance begins when we self-reflect. The psalmist identifies that in Psalm 119 and verse 59. Now repent, one of the Greek words for that is metanoeo. It's used 9 different times here in the book of Luke. And this is one of those times, 37 times in total in the New Testament. But notice, he says, I will arise, verse 18, I will go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now, when he says heaven, heaven is a word that can be a surrogate word for God. We learned that back in the Old Testament book of Daniel. Daniel, the 4th chapter and the 26th verse, when we're talking about the things that occurred to King Nebuchadnezzar while he's out there acting like a wild beast. Daniel 4:26, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree of the roots, thy kingdom shall be sure to thee after thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Well, do heavens really rule? No, but the God of heaven rules, and so heaven has been a surrogate numerous times in the Bible for God himself, and that would be what we're seeing here in verse 18 of Luke 15. He says, and he continues this rehearsed speech, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. Afar off, what does this mean? The father was habitually looking for the son. Here's what's interesting. The father would have been an older man, and running would have been undignified. If you were an older person, especially if you're a wealthy man, he must have had all this wealth to be able to divide his inheritance the way he did. And notice there are 4 things throughout the rest of the chapter that the father shows that were opposite of what was expected. First, he shows compassion on the son. Next, he shows his love by throwing his arms around him and kissing his neck. He shows celebration by having a feast. And there's also a joyful restoration of his status. Verse 21, and the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And we see basically the son has had this long speech, and I can only imagine when I've had to maybe say some things that I've not just been looking forward to. Sometimes I'll rehearse it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, however many times before I actually say it. In my mind, the entire journey back to the father's house, he is rehearsing, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? But he doesn't get to. Because his father says to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. We see that a long flowing robe that would reach the feet would be worn by persons of rank. We see a robe and a ring restores a position as a son. We learn that in Esther chapter 3 and verse 10, also 8 and verse 2, and Genesis 41:42. It is symbolic of being restored to that former position as a son. Now here's what's interesting. The Bible makes it a point to note they put shoes on his feet. Well, slaves were often barefoot, and so we can tell he's basically working as a slave when he's feeding the swine. He would have also technically been unclean because he had been dealing with these swine, which should have had to have a process by which he would become clean again by going to the priest and doing what the priest commands. But I want you to note, as we progress farther, that the father was different than the older brother, because the older brother was returned at his brother's return, surprised at his brother's return. He was offended and jealous at the father's celebration. He became angry at the father's outpouring and forgiving love. He declared his own self-righteousness, and he focused on his brother's sinfulness rather than this newfound repentance. Look at verse 23. Bring hither the fatted calf, kill and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Now, this fatted calf was reserved for special occasions, and it would have probably fed the entire village. Verse 24, he says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to be merry. Assumed to be dead, now alive. Is that not just the ultimate picture of membership in God's kingdom? Verse 25 says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing." Remember the audience, tax collectors, sinners, Pharisees, and scribes. It's often thought the younger son represents the tax collectors and sinners, and the older son represents the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were never happy when something good happened for Jesus Christ or any of those that followed him. Remember, both of these are listening to this speech that Christ is giving. "And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." Both physically safe and sound, he is there, we know spiritually, because he's been restored to that place in power. Now, he's still a human, so he's not perfect, but he has been restored, and he is safe and sound. Verse 28, "And he was angry," the older son was, "and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him." His anger mirrors the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He angers his father. "And he answering said, Lo, these many years I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a child that I might make merry with my friends." This child be a young goat, way less value than that of the fatted calf. "Lo" is offensive. He didn't greet him father. He said, "Lo," he is not happy. "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots." Now, we don't know if he had harlots, but here the older son is just spouting off because he is mad. "Thou killed him the fatted calf." And the father said, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Notice verse 30, the older son refuses to acknowledge his brother. He says, "Thy son," not "my brother," but "thy son." And then in verse 31, when the father calls him son, that shows the affliction and also the care, the affection of the father as well. What is the main story? Friends, we oftentimes are like that prodigal son in that we leave. We think we know better than God's commands, and so we leave. And God is like that father. He's waiting for us to come home, always waiting. But friends, sometimes we're like that older brother. And sometimes when a brother or sister of ours in Christ have fallen away and come back, we try to remind them of every wicked thing they've done, when that's the last thing they need. They need most the care and the affection of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Friends, don't be like the older brother. Don't be jealous. Don't be angry. And if you have turned away, if you have been prodigal, then you need to come back to the Father before it is too late. Because prodigal simply means wastefully extravagant. Don't be like him. That concludes our study on reading the Word. May the good Lord bless you and keep you. We'll see you next week, if the Lord wills.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.